From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. The summer movie season is sputtering to a close. It was a summer of blockbuster sequels that set box office records. But that doesn't mean more people went to the movies. Fewer people went and paid higher ticket prices. Well, now comes the cooler weather, and as our critic Bob Mondello tells us, the autumn movie outlook is about to turn more somber, especially for one segment of the audience.
Let the grieving begin. Not for everyone, just for the loyal fans who will see November as the beginning of the end.
Bring him to me.
The last novel in the series.
I must be the one to kill Harry Potter.
And though Hollywood's stretching like mad, turning Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows into two movies, the end is coming.
The boy who lived, come to die.
Remember when he was just a little tyke playing Quidditch? They grow up so fast. So did a troubled teenager sitting in Liverpool in the late 1950s, all the time hearing his teachers, his aunt, everyone tell him he was going nowhere. He's a real nowhere boy named John Lennon.
I'm going to start a rock and roll group.
You've been picked to be in my band.
We don't know how to play.
You don't have to know. What's important is I've chosen you.
I'm John. Oh.
John, your little friend's here.
Nowhere Boy tops a substantial list of true life stories this fall, including Fair Game, about Valerie Plame, the CIA agent outed by the Bush administration, Carlos, about the international assassin popularly known as the Jackal, Secretariat, about the owner of the Triple Crown-winning racehorse, and perhaps the most eagerly awaited true life story, Social Network, about a nebbishy Harvard student who grows up to be a billionaire because of a little thing he cooks up on his computer in his dorm room.
I need to do something substantial in order to get the attention of the clubs.
Why?
Because they're exclusive and fun, and they lead to a better life.
The something substantial he comes up with, he calls Facebook.
People want to go on the internet and check out their friends, so why not build a website that offers that friends, pictures, profiles?
I'm talking about taking the entire social experience of college and putting it online.
The site got 2,200 hits within 2 hours.
1,000.
22,000.
Social Network is a true Facebook story in fictional form, and Catfish is a true Facebook story that only feels like fiction. It's a documentary about a guy who becomes Facebook friends with a young artist and her family, then decides to take the friendship offline.
Hey, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
Your voice is not at all what I expected.
Only to have things take some odd turns.
Drive into the driveway.
What do you mean?
Don't drive. Back into it.
Why not?
Because then we can't see what's in front of us.
I'm a little scared. This place gives me creeps. Let's go.
Catfish was the most talked about documentary at this year's Sundance Festival, and it has lots of fall company, including Gerrymandering, about the politics of geography, Wasteland, about a sprawling landfill where garbage is transformed into art, I'm Still Here, about actor-turned-rapper Joaquin Phoenix, Inside Job, about the causes of the Wall Street meltdown, and Waiting for Superman, about fixes for an education system that even its defenders say is broken.
Among 30 developed countries, we rank 25th in math and 21st in science. In almost every category, we've fallen behind, except one. Kids from the USA rank number one in confidence.
Too much reality? Okay, forget documentaries. How about a musical showbiz saga? Burlesque, with Cher as a diva offering tough love to a small-town girl who wants to be a star.
I can do this.
And it's sweet that you think so.
Just tell me what you want.
I can't tell you. Nobody can tell you. You gotta make me believe that you belong on that stage, that it's yours, and that nobody can take it from you. Now, you wanna show me something? Show me that.
So she does. Because she's Christina Aguilera.
Hold it. Raise the curtain.
Also focusing on women, part three of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy, Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, and a sophisticated high school comedy called Easy A that's smart enough to see the literary connections when its heroine gets an undeserved reputation as the school tramp.
Ironically, we were studying the Scarlet Letter. This girl named Hester Prynne has an affair with the minister, is besmirched, and made to wear a red A for adulterer.
Perhaps you should embroider a red A on your wardrobe.
I'm not proud of this.
You look big red A.
No judgment, but you kind of look like a stripper.
Mom.
A high-end stripper.
for governors or athletes.
Several of the season's other comedies are odd couple stories. Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis are hoping for a hangover vibe in a road trip movie called Due Date. Mismatched friends are bringing up a baby in Life as We Know It. And there's a media mismatch in Morning Glory, where lightweight TV personality Diane Keaton meets her new co-host, Hard News anchorman Harrison Ford.
What's going on now?
Mike is offended by a word in the next story.
It's about Easter chicks.
I'm not saying the word fluffy.
Suppose I don't have standards?
Sure you do. When you got your pap smear on air, you wore a silk robe.
Okay!
Classy touch.
Other guys doing their macho thing this fall include Denzel Washington trying to halt a runaway train in Unstoppable, mountain climber James Franco hacking off his own arm in 127 Hours, Ryan Reynolds struggling to escape death in a coffin in Buried, and Michael Douglas slithering back to Wall Street as Gordon Gekko in Money Never Sleeps.
I once said, greed is good. Now it seems it's legal.
Speaking of guys behaving badly, let's note that the titles Knucklehead, Douchebag, and Jackass will be on multiplex marquees this fall, bait presumably for teenagers. For actual children, there's 3D animation, Tangled, which is Disney's take on the Rapunzel fairy tale, an adventure with feathers called Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahool, and a comedy about a supervillain who calls himself Megamind.
In the eternal struggle between good and evil, good has always prevailed. But this time, evil has a secret, incredible, totally handsome weapon. Me! Hit it!
And if all this sounds less than substantial, don't despair. Clint Eastwood is going all meditative and ethereal in Hereafter, which explores notions of the afterlife. Royal elocution lessons are the subject of the King's Speech. And believe it or not, poetry will rear its cinematic head in Howl, about beat poet Allen Ginsberg, and also in For Colored Girls, a celebrated stage classic that's taken more than 3 decades to travel from Broadway to the screen. All of this before Thanksgiving and the rush of Oscar hopefuls, which qualifies as cause for hope. I'm Bob Mondello.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.